Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that you are the God who works all things according to the counsel of your will. And Lord, we pray that we may recognize that, and we pray that we may give thanks to you for that today. Please help us to remember how much you have done for us in Jesus, but also to remember all the work that you did beforehand to prepare us for Jesus, all your work in us and around us, so that we may give even greater glory and praise to you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when I will wake up in the morning and I will forget what day it is. There are times when I will walk into a room and then I will stop and I will wonder why I went into that room in the first place. I have forgotten people's names, even people I have known for years. I forget birthdays, anniversaries, important appointments. I forget to bring things that I said I would bring to any given event. And I'm not afraid to admit this because I'm pretty sure that you forget things too. We are all forgetful people. And so what we need, because we are forgetful people, are all sorts of systems and technologies and habits to help us to remember. We have calendars and diaries and alarms. We have ceremonies and traditions and public holidays. We have our little mnemonics, little rhymes and mental shortcuts that we make for ourselves as well. 30 days has September, April, June and November. I used to remember the cardinal directions, north, south, east, west, as never eat soggy Weet-Bix. We are all forgetful people and we need help remembering. And if we have trouble remembering even the stuff that's right in front of us, how much more trouble do we have remembering God? God is easy for us to forget. It's easy for you to go your whole day without thinking of God or speaking to God or hearing from God. Many people go whole years or even lifetimes without remembering God. Some people might take this as evidence that God doesn't exist, but nothing could be further from the truth. Ignoring your wife for the whole day doesn't mean that she's not there. Just because you can go your whole day without thinking about gravity, it doesn't mean gravity's not there either. The writer Aldous Huxley wrote, "Facts do not cease to exist simply because they are ignored." You see, our tendency to forget God doesn't mean we need to hear less about God. It means we need to hear more about God. We need to hear more about his goodness, more about his love, more about his Son, so that we can give him the thanks and praise that he deserves. And that's what I hope that we can do today. And specifically on the experience of becoming a Christian that most of us have gone through. Because we are going to see from Acts chapter 8 that God's guiding hand works both in us and around us to bring us to know him. And God deserves all the glory for it. At this point in the book of Acts, Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead after 3 days and he has ascended into heaven. Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to his followers. The Spirit has empowered them for ministry. They are the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have gone out to spread the good news about Jesus to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the ever-increasing circle of influence of the kingdom of God. And we thank God that that kingdom has come all the way even here to Magpies, Waitara. One of these followers of Jesus, one of the apostles, was Philip. And our passage today is about how Philip shares Jesus with an Ethiopian eunuch. He is a court official from Ethiopia. He served directly to the queen. This Ethiopian is about to have the experience of his life. He's going to hear about Jesus, and this is an experience that ends in baptism. And we're going to see from our passage today how God's guiding hand is working both around us and in us to help us to know Jesus. And so first, God works around us. God works in our circumstances. He works in other people. He works all around us to bring us to him. Have a look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Then verse 29, after that, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." And then when Philip's work is done, verse 39, it goes, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." See, three times in our passage, God puts his person in the right place at the right time to bring the Ethiopian to Jesus. There was a time a while ago now when Jen and I were out for dinner at a restaurant in Double Bay. We had like a buy one, get one free coupon or something, so we had to take advantage of it. We were having some drinks before we got seated when this really short guy, like curly hair, glasses, walks into the restaurant. And I have to squint a little bit, but then I'm like, is that Andrew Denton? And it totally was. Like, it was Andrew Denton, the Gold Logie-nominated comedian, ABC interviewer, TV presenter and producer Andrew Denton, coming into the same restaurant as us to get his dinner. And that was the closest I have ever gotten to fame. And I'm sure you've had your experiences of this, as we shared before as well, right? These are the kinds of things that we would describe as chance encounters. There's no plan or purpose to them, right? I didn't plan to see Andrew Denton, and I'm pretty sure Andrew Denton did not plan to see me, right? But the reason I mention this is because what God is doing here is the complete opposite of that. When people come to know Jesus, it's the complete opposite of a chance encounter. It happens under the guiding hand of God, putting the right person in the right place at the right time for you to come to know Jesus. And so who was it for you? Who was your Philip? Who guided you to Jesus? And where did it happen? Where was your Jerusalem-Gaza road experience? Where did God choose for you to become a Christian, to hear about Jesus for the first time? For me, it was one of my classmates on the bus on the way to uni. I sat next to her and she opened up the conversation by asking me, "So, are you a Christian?" Everything else came from that. And then there was another classmate who met with me in the pavilions at UNSW for 7 weeks in a row, opening up the Bible and learning about how Jesus saved me. And then the staff worker at uni at those same pavilions who got me thinking when he asked me, "If you were to die tonight and you met God, would you be sure you're going to heaven?" Who and where was it for you? Because whoever it was and wherever it was, those were not chance encounters. Those were divine appointments placed by God in your calendar for you to come to know Jesus. Acts chapter 17, it says that God has determined our periods and the boundaries of our dwelling places, that we should seek God and perhaps feel our way toward him and find him. God sets us up at the right time and place to hear about Jesus. And we often forget that, don't we? Because we are forgetful people. But we need to remember this. And I think it'd be great for us right now just to say a short prayer to God, thanking him for sending those people to us to guide us to Jesus. Thanking God for putting us in that place where it first happened. You know, "Dear God, thank you for my classmate. Dear God, thank you for putting me on that bus." You know, I'll give you 5 seconds to do that now. You know, would you use that time to thank God for his work? And if you are here and you're exploring Christianity, maybe you're not a Christian yet, then maybe perhaps this is part of God working to bring you closer to Jesus as well. And if that is the case, if that is God's work, it would honour him and delight him for you to take that hint and go further with him. Because God works all around us to bring us closer to Jesus. But God doesn't just work around the Ethiopian in our story. He also works in the Ethiopian too. God gets him ready to hear the good news of Jesus. Because by the time Philip comes on the scene, the Ethiopian is thoroughly prepared for the gospel message. And that's what we see in verses 27 to 28. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Remember, this guy's not a Jew, right? He's not from Israel. He's from Ethiopia, which actually, you know, in that time corresponds to modern day Sudan. But what God has given him is an interest in the Jewish religion. Today we're celebrating Peggy's baptism. Peggy's a very well-traveled person. She's been to China, Japan, Indonesia, Singapore, Taiwan. This Ethiopian is a really well-traveled guy as well, right? He goes all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel. And not just that, but he also reads the Jewish scriptures. He loves to read the Bible. He was probably reading them aloud as well when he was riding in his chariot. That's why Philip was able to hear him and ask him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Then also we see that he genuinely wants to know what these scriptures mean. He is reading about a guy who was killed, who didn't resist, who didn't even speak back to his persecutors. He wants to know who this guy is. Just say you had a friend and you really wanted him or her to know Jesus. Most of us probably do, right? Just say you're visiting their place. You go in. You find them on their couch reading Isaiah 53 and they ask you, "Hey, can you tell me who this person was who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities? What did this person do for us?" You know, if you were in a situation like that, wouldn't you love to be in a situation like that? You know, isn't that just the perfect intro for sharing Jesus with them? That's what God has done here. He has perfectly primed this Ethiopian to hear the message of Jesus. He gave him the right heart, the right interest in spiritual things, the right scriptures, so that the only thing that he needed to tip him over the edge was the gospel. And God did the same with us as well. Jesus says that unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God does the work of regeneration in our hearts so that we can understand his word. Ephesians chapter 1 says that God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. God chooses us before we choose God. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that God has set eternity in our hearts. We have a sense that there is something more to life. God is the one who put that there. You see, when it comes to hearing the good news about Jesus, God sets us up for success. Like a loving parent the night before their child's big performance, getting all the right clothes ironed and laid out, saying the right words of encouragement, getting them to bed at the right time, God prepares everything for us to hear the good news of Jesus. What did that preparation look like for you? For me, it was compulsory scripture in primary school and high school that alerted me to the fact that God existed. It was the upbringing of my parents who believed in right and wrong and not just doing what you feel, so that I was ready to be guided on how to live. And I think also that there was something in me that God gave that knew that there was something deeply wrong with this world around us. And not just wrong with this world around us, but also deeply wrong with me. And I found the answer to that question when I learned that this world is wrong because we have rejected God and gone our own way and not God's way. That was me. For other people, it's different. God primes some people for the gospel through parents that are diligent in teaching their children about Jesus. He primes others maybe through an experience of suffering that causes them to ask the big questions in life. Others maybe see the beauty of God's creation, this world around us, and think, how could any of this have arisen by chance? For other people, maybe it's the question of morality. How can I say that something is truly good or truly bad without God? There are other things besides. For most of us, it's probably a mixture of factors, but all of these, again, are not accidents. They are deliberate works of God in our hearts to prepare the way for Jesus. And we often forget that, don't we? Because we are forgetful people. And so it'd be great for us, again, to thank God for that as well. Not just his work around us, but his work in us. Dear God, thank you for readying me for Jesus. Thank you for giving me the sense that there was something out there, that there's something wrong with our world, for giving me the right questions so that I could find the answers in Christ. Again, 5 seconds. Why not do that now? God works around us. He also works in us to bring us closer to Jesus. And so we've seen God's guiding hand at work in the lives of Philip and the Ethiopian, and we've seen his guiding hand at work in our lives as well. What are some things that we can take away from this? Well, I've already spoken about remembrance and thanksgiving. If God has done this great work for us, saving us from sin and death, we need to remember it and be thankful for it. But there are a few other things that we can get from this passage as well. And there are two types of eagerness that we should have knowing this about God. The first one is eagerness to be baptized. In our Christian culture, there is sometimes a bit of a suspicion about baptism. We kind of don't like it when parents who are not Christians want to get their kids baptized. Maybe so that they can get into a Christian school or as a form of spiritual immunization, right? Like just say God is there. I want to protect my kid. We know that doesn't work. We are wary of cults that teach that if you're not baptized in water, then you're going to hell. We want to stress as Christians, because the Bible stresses it, that we are saved by faith in Jesus alone. Right? I totally get that. But I think it's going a bit too far when I hear from other Christians, and I used to say this myself, actually, you know, I don't want to be baptized because I don't want to give the impression that I'm saved by my baptism. Right? There's a logical problem there, right? You would never say, I don't want to do good deeds because I don't want to give the impression that I'm saved by my good deeds. Right? Baptism is just part of obeying God and his son, Jesus Christ. And even in this church, honestly, I kind of have to wrangle people to be baptized sometimes. It's something that people keep on putting off for whatever reason. You know, sometimes, like, getting you guys to get baptized is trying to get you guys to go to the dentist, right, sometimes. But that kind of view is not from the Bible. Right? As soon as the Ethiopian heard the gospel, he was keen to get baptized. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He didn't need convincing to be baptized. He needed convincing not to be baptized. Also important to note that in this story, the Holy Spirit doesn't take Philip away as soon as the Ethiopian believes in Jesus, right? As soon as he puts up his hand or prays a prayer. He takes Philip away after the baptism. The work wasn't done until the guy was baptized. And so if you're holding out on baptism, can I encourage you to look at the example of the guy in this passage? Can I encourage you to be keen to be baptized, to obey the command of the apostle and the Lord Jesus to repent and be baptized, to show people that you are washed clean of your sins? New Christians are eager to be baptized. And then the second kind of eagerness is an eagerness for God to work. It is God who works around the person and in the person to come to know Jesus. And if that is the case, then the key thing we must be doing to make disciples is praying and asking God to do that work. Christians often place a lot of trust in their clever arguments, their training in the gospel, their kindness and love to their neighbor and to their communities. All of those things are important. We should do them. We must do them. But they will not work. They will not convince people unless God has already prepared and primed them, like the Ethiopian in our passage today. And that is why part of our church vision is to get people praying for three. Praying regularly for three people you know to be open to the gospel And in light of our passage today, maybe when you pray for them, pray that God will work around them. Pray that God will put them in the right place, bring the right people to speak the message of Jesus to them, and maybe pray that one of those right people is you. Pray that God will not just work around them, but also in them. Pray that God will prepare their hearts, give them the right questions, lead them to the right scriptures, so that the good news of Jesus will be a real blessing to them. Christians who are eager to see God work will be praying for God to work. And so we are a forgetful people. And especially we look at this world and we forget this is God's world. He made it, he runs it, and he works around us and in us to bring us to know Jesus. As you think about how you came to be a Christian, how you came to be baptized, I hope that you remember all that God has done for you. It wasn't luck. It wasn't an accident. It was all worked out because God loves you and wants you to be saved. And I pray that it may lead to us giving more thanks and praise to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We thank you for putting Philip at the right place. We thank you for guiding him to the Ethiopian. We thank you for working in the Ethiopian's life as well, for giving him an interest in your word and in you. And we thank you that that all came together in that proclamation of the gospel, in that sharing of Jesus. And we do give you praise and thanks that that man was converted, that he was eager to be baptized, and that he went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have done a similar work in our lives as well, that you have worked around us to put us in the right place at the right time with the right people to hear the gospel of Jesus. We thank you that you have worked in our hearts, in our upbringing, in our own selves and in what we have taken in to ask the right questions and have our answers be found in Jesus too. Lord, we pray that we may remember that because we do not give that as much thought as we should. Please help us to remember those times when you have worked in us. Remember all your work in us up until this point, and to give thanks and praise and appreciation to you because of it. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.